This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Club of Rutland. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the July 9th edition of The Landmark. This is Mo Ryan. First up, Rutland Staff Gathers for Farewells by Ken Cleveland. June 30th, the end of the 2026 fiscal year and many jobs may have been a somber day for town employees, but many made the best of it despite the heat, gathering on the town common under the shade of the gazebo. It was an ice cream social, at which the social aspect was important for many who had worked together, and for those who's leaving their jobs. Even some of those staying were to start the next day on reduced hours. Some whose hours had been severely cut had opted, because of financial necessity, to move on to other opportunities. Quote, "We are doing our best," unquote, Tamika Murphy said. As executive assistant to the town administrator, Heather Butler, Murphy had been a linchpin across all departments. She had served as assistant to several Rutland town administrators and interims between them, a consistent in the changing administrator's office. Quote, "I hate to leave," Murphy said, adding, "It will take time and residents' time and the staff to adjust." Butler said that Murphy, quote, "has institutional knowledge that you cannot hire," unquote. As they enjoyed chatting in the cold but quickly melting ice cream, many did not want to focus on the negative. But they acknowledged the sadness for those laid off and for those whose hours were reduced in several cases, forcing them to move to full-time positions elsewhere. Murphy, for existence, needed the income, but was able to move to a position at the dispatch center. Others took jobs out of town, though remaining in government positions, just serving residents of another town. For Harold Leeming, who had been the building commissioner, he gave up his retirement job to fully retire. Reflecting on the financial challenges the town had faced, Leeming said that Heather walked into a bee's nest when she became town administrator. Lori LeFrancois worked at the senior center and said that cuts were anticipated. Quote, "I'm not in shock," she said, but added it is still disheartening. She opted to stay in her role despite the budget cuts. She said the senior center helps people who often need time from staff, such as getting through procedures to get assistance. Town clerk Anita Carlson said Rutland, quote, "is losing some really key people," end quote. More than that, the employees are such a nice, compatible group of people. Carlson expects to retire in the fall. Her consolation is that she expects that Assistant Town Clerk Ben Barakian will take the post. Quote, "Ben is going to be a good clerk," Carlson said. In the interim, his hours have been cut back to 20 hours. He will fill those hours working at Stone Cow Creamery. If, as Carlson expects, the town clerk's office becomes the go-to for residents needing assistance at town hall, which was once the norm, there will be less staff to help them. She said notary services were one thing already cut because of the time they sometimes require. The clerk's office is busy with a range of crucial duties, from overseeing elections to handling vital records and licenses, from marriage licenses to dog licenses. Butler, who started in Rutland in January of this year, has spent her time managing the town's increased expenses, especially line items such as health insurance, as the municipal government sees revenue that does not keep up. Quote, "We have to stabilize, then rebuild. Nothing in my 20-plus years in town government work has prepared me for the current financial situation in Rutland," end quote. She said she had seen layoffs in the 2008 crash, but never so much. Quote, "This is such a major hit for a town of this size," Butler said, noting the loss of 11 first responders in one fell swoop. Rutland lost its entire inspectional department, although Butler is hiring. "But it is hard to recruit under these circumstances," she said. "We had some very talented employees in all our departments, and we know that they know their future here is uncertain. My objective is to stabilize for the employees left behind, that they still feel valued, and we're continuing to do everything we can to keep them here." Next. Rutland turns off the Facebook comments by Ken Cleveland. Rutland's official Facebook page will be providing, quote, "just the facts, ma'am," to misquote Joe Friday, with the select board approving a social media policy at its June 22nd meeting. Debate on the town's social media page will have to shift to another venue. Quote, "The big change there is that the policy notes that we will be turning off comments for any of the social media channels, meaning the public will not be allowed to have interactions on our Facebook page," unquote, Chair Sheila Dibb said. "It has nothing to do with any of the private groups that are out there that might screenshot what we post, but in the absence of anyone in any form of the public information officer, we just cannot monitor the comments," Dibb said. "Even in absence of the reduction of staff, I think that it makes sense that we don't have a dedicated communications person," Select Board Member Leah Whiteman said. "The last few months have shown us that it very quickly devolves into a not great space. It's not fair to our employers, employees, and especially those that have to manage that and then could have that in the back of their minds. Now going forward, with this reduction in staff and in hours, there's just not the capacity to do it. I think there's value in using it as an information sharing aspect, but not a question generating or dialogue space," Whiteman said. "The policy would also apply to other committees appointed by the select board, but not to the elected boards. Though it was noted, those boards are generally not maintained social media sites. If things turn out to not work the way we wanted them to work, obviously we can revisit them," Dibb said. Members noted questions that can be directed to appropriate town hall staff through phone or email, with contacts listed on the town website. Next, "Patriotic Pride on Display" by Danielle Ray. Rutland. More than a dozen homes were featured in the town's inaugural Stars, Stripes, and Front Porch Lights decorating contest, and the winners will be announced this week. The Rutland Business Association and Discover Rutland MA, found at facebook.com/DiscoverRutlandMA, organized the new town tradition, which showcased the patriotic pride of Rutland residents who went all out with red, white, and blue decor. Several neighboring businesses generally stepped up to sponsor the event, including Morawski Barbecue, Alpaca Lips Farm, Fluffin' Awesome Mutt's Dog Grooming and Spa, and Catherine Kierlin Selling Central Mass, just to name a few. Locals were encouraged to load up the family, turn on their summer playlist, and take a ride through town to view the entries and vote on their favorite. Every home represents a family, a neighbor, and a little piece of what makes this community so special, Discover Rutland MA posted on its Facebook page, along with the map, route, and voting instructions. Quote, "This contest was never about decorations. It's about community, tradition, and finding new ways to come together," end quote. Ed Novak and his wife, Susan, and their two children, daughter Alexis and son Brent, have lived in town since 2007. Since moving here, I've had the honor in marching in almost every Memorial Day and 4th of July parade, only missing a few while deployed in the military, said Ed, who, quote, proudly serves as a colonel in the Massachusetts Army National Guard. He is also an active member of the American Legion Post 310 in town. When they heard about Stars, Stripes, and Front Porch Lights contest, he and his family did not hesitate to jump in as participants and went all out with their Marjorie Lane home. Quote, we saw it as an opportunity to celebrate our country and help keep our community's patriotic spirit alive, especially after this year's parade and fireworks were canceled, Ed said. I also wanted to honor the service and sacrifice of my fellow veterans and all those who have defended our freedoms. Decorating our home with more than 250 American flags and thousands of lights has been a meaningful way for my family to celebrate America's 250th anniversary. And it's been especially rewarding to see so many neighbors stop by and enjoy the display. Next is Speak Out, a 250th evening led by community, not by campaigns. Triple-digit temperatures kept many people indoors across central Massachusetts. Yet, on the evening of July 2nd, nearly 200 people gathered anyways, not for a campaign rally or a protest, but to celebrate America's 250th anniversary as neighbors. For a few hours, politics gave way to patriotism. The community celebration, organized by Holden's Stephanie Mulroy, who is also a candidate for state representative, was exactly what so many Americans say they miss, in an evening centered not on political parties or campaign slogans, but on shared history, shared sacrifices, and a shared future. The program was thoughtful. Revolutionary War reenactors fired ceremonial volley that echoed across the field, offering a powerful reminder that the freedoms we enjoy were purchased at a tremendous cost. Members of the Sons of American Revolution delivered John Daly's 1917 Toast to the Flag. Founding fathers in full colonial dress brought the Declaration of Independence to life, reminding the audience that its words were once considered an act of treason. Then came the evening's most moving moment, as Sheriff Lou Evangelis read the names of the local service members who gave their lives in defense of our country. Candles were lit in their memory. Families stood quiet in the summer heat. Veterans bowed their heads. Children watched in respectful silence. For a few minutes, there were no Republicans or Democrats. There were simply Americans remembering those who never came home. That wasn't just history. It was a mirror. Throughout the evening, one message remained remarkably constant. As Milroy said, quote, tonight isn't about politics. It isn't about what divides us. It's about what brings us together. For one evening, we are simply Americans, neighbors, families, veterans, children, friends, people who love our communities and are grateful for the blessings we share. In the crowd, State Senator Peter Durant stood alongside Sheriff Lee Evangelidis, local selectman Linda Lonbelly, financial community member Stephanie Adams, veterans, and residents. Regardless of political affiliation, everyone had come for the same reason, to celebrate the birth of our nation. One of the evening's remarks seemed especially fitting. Quote, 250 years ago, the men whose words you'll hear tonight weren't famous figures in history books. They were ordinary people who made an extraordinary choice. They debated. They disagreed. But when history called, they found something greater than their differences. They found a common purpose, unquote. That lesson feels every bit as relevant today as it did in 1776. We often act as though disagreement itself is the problem. It isn't. Our founders disagreed passionately. They argued, compromised, and challenged one another. What made them remarkable wasn't unanimous agreement. It was their unwillingness to place the future of the country above their individual differences. Unfortunately, not everyone honored that spirit. During the ceremony, another political group interrupted the program, drawing attention from the community celebration. It was disappointing. Not because people should refrain from participating in civic life, but because there is a time and a place for campaigning. A ceremony honoring our nation's founding and remembering those who gave their lives to defense, in its defense, is not that. Ironically, the interruption only reinforced the evening's central message. As Mulroy reminded those gathered, quote, "As we celebrate 250 years of this great American experiment, I hope tonight reminds us that we have far more in common than we sometimes remember. We all want safe communities. We all want opportunities for our children. We all want the freedom to live, worship, and speak and pursue our dreams." Unquote. Those aren't Republican or Democratic values. Those are American values. As our nation celebrates its 250th birthday, we will have countless opportunities to choose how we engage with one another. We can continue to reward outrage and division, or we can rediscover the civic spirit that has carried this country through its greatest challenges. This work will not begin in Washington. It begins in town commons, school auditoriums, Memorial Day ceremonies, 4th of July celebrations, and evenings like this one's, where neighbors choose to gather not because they agree on everything, but because they agree America is still worth celebrating. On July 2nd, Holden offered a glimpse of what it looks like, and that is a lesson worth remembering. Up next is The 21st Celebrity Pancake Breakfast by Kristen Payson. Rutland. The Friends of the Rutland COA celebrated July 4th with the 21st Annual Celebrity Pancake Breakfast. Celebrities on hand for the event included Sheriff Lou Evangelides and State Representative Senator Peter Durant serving up pancakes. According to a COA helper, traffic at the breakfast was steady throughout the morning, with attendees enjoying the pancakes, breakfast sausage links, local maple syrups, with or without blueberries. Visitors also had the opportunity to sign a copy of the Declaration of Independence, which the editor of this story's husband happily did. Next, we have Wachusett's goings-on. At the Wachusett Reservoir events, the Massachusetts Department of Conservation and Recreation Division of Water Supply Protection has free local programs coming up in the West Wachusett area. To check out event status, call or text 617-352-4044 or email catherine.parent@mass.gov. For ADA/reasonable accommodations, call 617-645-0358 or email monisha.dasgupta2@mass.gov. That's monisha.dasgupta2@mass.gov. There's the Washakum Shoreline Cleanup, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday, July 18th. Rain date is July 25th. Join DCR Watershed Rangers for a morning on the water with a purpose. help clean up the shoreline of West Washakum Pond by removing litter from hard-to-reach areas accessible by boat. Bring a kayak or canoe and make a real difference in maintaining this vital watershed. Dress for weather, bring sunscreen and insect repellent. Note, to protect our drinking water supply, no dogs, swimming, wading, or paddle boards. All boats must be clean and free of invasive species. The summer sensory outing from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Friday, July 24th. Meet at Mass Central Rail Trail, Sterling Spur, 25 Gates Road, Sterling. A guided sensory walk along a three-quarter mile round-trip flat gravel-packed trail. Pause for interactive sensory stations, natural touch and smell experiences. Benches are placed along the way. Strollers and wheelchairs welcome. ADA portable toilet at the start of the trail. Parking at the trailhead. Painted crosswalk on Gates Road. No dogs are allowed. The WMAC meeting. The Wachusett Mountain Advisory Council, formed in 1969, advises the Department of Conservation and Recreation in the fulfillment of its mission to conserve the natural resources and preserve the history of Wachusett Mountain State Reservation, while providing opportunities for appropriate public recreational use of the Wachusett State Mountain State Reservation. The next meeting is at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, July 29th, at the DCR Visitor Center at 345 Mountain Road in Princeton. All WMAC meetings are open to the public, and residents are encouraged to attend. WMAC meets the last Wednesday of January, April, July, and October. There's the Massasoit Art Guild Show in Paxton. Five members of the Massasoit Art Guild in Spencer are displaying their artwork at the Paxton Senior Center on 17 West Street. The show runs 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. weekdays through August. Please come enjoy the exhibits and vote for Best in Show. All are welcome. Next are events at the Richards Memorial Library. Richards Memorial Library is located at 44 Richards Ave. The library is closed Sunday, when Monday is a holiday. The library is open Tuesday and Thursday, 1 to 8 p.m., Wednesdays and Fridays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There's the Roaring Twenties Book Club. In honor of Richards Memorial Library's 100th birthday, the club is reading books from the 1920s throughout the year. The next meeting is 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Thursday, August 6th. The book is The Mysterious Affair at Stiles by Agatha Christie, and it is available at the library for adults. The Adult Book Display. Epistolary novels, stories told through letters, journal entries, and other documents. Grab a book to read and some stationery to write a letter of your own. Summer reading for children, tweens, and teens. June 23rd through August 4th. Read, earn prizes, experience fun programs, explore weekly drop-in activities at the library, a special team program to receive a reading log and detailed schedule of summer events. Register in person at the library. Plant a seed. Read. Learn more at paxton.cwmars.org/summer-reading. There's summer reading for adults, June 23rd through August 4th. Summer reading is not just for kids. Enjoy reading challenging and prized books for adults, too. Register at the library. The 100th birthday activities. Take the 100 book challenge or complete quilt quest scavenger hunts, indoors or out, to help the library celebrate its 100th birthday. all summer long it's going on. Drop in any time for these self-paced activities. There's drop-in scavenger hunts for the youth. Find the letter clues hidden around the J/Y room and solve the summer reading-themed riddle to earn a small prize. Kim the Lego Lady, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Tuesday, July 22nd, take your Lego building to a whole new level. Explore new ideas and create your own masterpieces in this Lego workshop for ages 5 to 11, led by Miss Kim, the Lego Lady. All skill levels welcome. Registration required. Thank you to the Friends of the Library for funding this program. Musical story time with Julie Stepniak Murray, from 10:30 to 11:15 a.m., Friday, July 24th. March, stomp, sing, and stretch in these interactive musical story times for young children and their caregivers. Thank you to the Paxton Cultural Council, a local agency funded by the Mass Cultural Council, a state agency, for funding this program. Protect our pollinators with naturalist Jerry Schneider, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, July 28th. Learn about our local pollinators and how to build habitats to help them. Make a pollinator-themed stenciled t-shirt to take home. Best for ages 5 to 11, but all are welcome. You can sew an emotional support chicken from 4 to 5 p.m. on Thursday, July 30th. Create your own stuffy to guide you through times of stress. For children, tweens, and teens, open to all young people with fine motor skills needed to hold a needle and make stitches independently or with the caregiver's help. Tuesday, August 4th is the last day of summer reading. The last day to turn in your summer reading logs for prizes. 3:30 to 5 p.m. will be ice cream at the library. Drop in for a sweet treat to celebrate the last day of summer reading. There'll be a Dungeons & Dragons Club for teens, ages 12 to 18, from 4 to 5:30 p.m. on Thursdays, July 16th, 23rd, and 30th. Gather weekly to play this fantasy tabletop role-playing game led by teens, ages 12 to 18. Create characters to go on imaginary adventures led by a dungeon master. Whether you're an experienced player or new to the game, you are welcome. Note, this program is currently full, and if you are interested in starting a second D&D group at the library, see the Youth Services Librarian. Hopefully you or someone you know can attend some of these events. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Mo Ryan. Thank you for listening.
Listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.